Well, hello and welcome once again to another Battle Site for Christ radio broadcast, brought to you each week at this same time, 9 a.m., over the Just Jesus Network. Ooh, what a joy and a privilege it is to be here every Saturday morning. I hope you can take time from your busy schedule and kind of sit back and listen to what God has placed in my heart. Let's start with a prayer and then we'll get right into the Word. Heavenly Father, Almighty God, I give you thanks and I give you praise, Lord God. Thanks for the great salvation we have through Jesus Christ, your only begotten Son. Praise, Lord. Praise for who you are, the God of all the universe, the Creator of all things that ever were, ever was, and ever shall be. Lord God, please go before me now and open the minds of those who hear. And Lord God, may the words that are spoken this day find lodging in their needy hearts. And may you be pleased, Lord, and may Jesus Christ, my blessed Savior, be lifted up. For it's in His name I pray. Amen. Well, here we are. You know, last week I began a message called A Letter to John. It's a letter to John which I didn't have time to complete, so I plan to complete it today, and I pray you'll stay with me for the next 26, 27 minutes, and we'll get the Word done, and God, I pray, will be pleased. Okay? Now, when I last... If you've checked, if you listened already to the first one, then you would have picked up a lot of information. And so some of it in this particular message may be repetitive, okay? But bear with me, please. There's still a lot of good stuff here coming your way. And I pray you'll stay right there where you are, okay? Okay. A Letter to John, Part 2. Part 2. What a blessing. You know, Once the Spirit, we're talking the Spirit of God, is reborn through Christ, then there is an adoption. An adoption. We are spiritually no longer our own. Are you getting that? We are spiritually no longer our own once we believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what it's saying. We are the sons and daughters of the living God. Wow. And a co-heir with Jesus Christ. Wow. How many of us have thought, wow, what would it be like to live next door to Jesus Christ? Oh, you're going to love it when you finally stand in His presence. Face to face. I know I will. Anyway, since we are under the blood atonement, we who have believed in the gospel of Jesus Christ, we are eternally cleansed from all our iniquities, our sins. That means past, present, future. Amen? Amen. And even though our old flesh, you know, and I call it old flesh even when I was young, I'd say the old flesh, you know. Even though this old flesh will continue to sin. Now, it's not willful sin we're talking here. Because of its incorruptible state, we haven't put on incorruption yet. And until it is changed, our body is changed to be like unto Christ. Well, the Spirit, however, can never revert back to its sinful state. Can never. That's because we are sealed. We are sealed by the Holy Spirit and have become a part of the body of Jesus Christ. Wow. Amen to that? Oh, amen. Brother John, you say your first epistle is a doctrinal epistle, not written expressly to the church. But instead, it's a book, meant for the tribulation when God deals with Israel one more time. Okay? That's fine. You refer to chapter 3, verse 9. Chapter 3, verse 9. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. I like that. Are you born again? Are you born of God? I know a man of like precious faith, or so I believe, who said he was reading from the King James Authorized 1611. And here I see firsthand the subtlety of Satan, how he twists the scriptures. In 1 John 3, verse 9, he changes the preposition of, O-F, to to, T-O. To God. To God. Now, this is how he read it. Whosoever is born to God, instead of God, who is born to God, doth not commit sin. For his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born to God. Do you see, dear brother, the grave error here? Do you? I mean, I was born of my mother, not to my mother. A proper worldly prepositional phrase, that is. We must not bring God down to our level. No, we mustn't do that. We are born of flesh, of the flesh and blood, not to flesh and blood. We are born of God, not to God. Only that which is begotten of God, Jesus Christ, is born of God. I hope I haven't confused you too much there. You may want to go back and listen to the message again and kind of straighten it out. Okay. Anyway, I do know what I'm talking about, and I thank God for that. Jesus was born of a virgin, not to a virgin. Of. Brother, in the first epistle, chapter 3, verse 22, we read, "And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do the things that are pleasing in his sight." When I was teaching in a Christian school many years ago, we had a very special song verse, song verse we would sing almost every day. It's called obedience. Obedience is the very best way to show that you believe. You know what? Obedience to God is the very best way to show that you believe. And I believe. Oh, yes, it is. And it goes hand in hand with verse 22, that if we keep his commandments and be pleasing in his sight, then whatever we ask, he will give to us. Whatever we ask. Now, I'm not dealing with foolish things, you know. Oh, I want a new bike. Then I'll get a new bike. I want a new car. I'll get a new car. I'm not saying that. No. We've got to talk the way God thinks and wants us to talk to him. Okay? Okay. Now, I was speaking to another brother in the Lord recently, and sometimes he plays with words, you know, gets you a little bit going, a little upset maybe, but he knows that nobody can keep God's commandments. No, we can't. And of course, if we break one of his commandments, now we might, you know, keep nine of them and break one, but we can't keep all his commandments while we're in the flesh. If we break one, then the Word of God tells us we have broken all. We have broken them all. Romans 3:10 says, "There is none righteous, no, not one." But Christ became righteous for us. Yeah. Christ became righteous for us. I think that just seeing the word commandments compelled him to point to Judaism. He says, we have never been under the law. True. So what's the point here? What's the point? He added that we know the difference between good and evil because Adam and Eve ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That's why we know the difference. You know, back in Exodus, because the evil of that time seemed so great and was a stench in the nostrils of God, He, God, dealt with His chosen ones by putting His laws in their hearts, that they should live according to these laws to show their obedience unto Him, unto Almighty God. Now, from what I understand, brother, the Israelites had no knowledge of Jesus back in the Old Testament times. The point is, we are to pray to God the Father. The latter, later in Jesus' name after the cross. This came later. Back then, Jesus wasn't born. They didn't know about Jesus. They prayed directly to the Father, and that, of course, was acceptable. I preached a sermon recently on prayer to emphasize this very point. Prayer is our very lifeline to God through the Son, and we should keep short accounts that we may reap, important word, reap the blessings He wants us to have. He wants us to have. As a Christian, I don't have any problem with these words, none whatsoever. God loves to bless His children. He does. I can speak freely of that because I know of His blessings. I am blessed by Him every day. If not just for the way I feel in my body, but for the things that He has placed before me in my heart. God is there. Are you there with Him? I pray so. I don't have any problem with these words. God does love His children. And, of course, our salvation is secure because of the shed blood. But I believe that blessings will only come our way through obedience to His Word. I mean, you can know God, you can know what Jesus did, but you must be obedient if you want these blessings. And since none of us can keep all the commandments, as long as we are captive to this flesh, we shall never fully experience the totality of God's blessings until we are home in heaven. Until we are home in heaven. Where sin will have no more dominion over us. Amen, brother. Amen, sister. My brother went on to say that if we are to believe in the written page, blah, 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 excuse the words, well, look at your next verse, brother. No, Brother John, straight from Brother John. God tells us what His commandment is, that we should believe on the name of the Son, of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We are to, first and foremost, we have to believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God. Well, here's my question, Brother John, concerning the written page. How can this verse be to Old Testament folks when the name of Jesus wasn't even heard of until the New Testament times? I mean, these were God's words that He had you write for our admonition, that we should believe on the name of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, as He gave us commandments. My brother goes on to say that we must be physically and spiritually born again. Now, the physical doesn't mean that, you know, that you can go and become invisible to someone. Don't play games here. This is not a game. His implication is that both should occur together before we are actually born again. Born again. Oh, yeah. Perhaps when Christ returns and writes His name on on the hearts of the Jewish remnant that have persevered through the great tribulation, but as for the Church of Christ, and I refer to believers, the moment we repented, turned to Christ, and believed in Jesus, that He suffered and bled and died as an atonement for our sins, and rose again on the third day, then that very moment we have believed this, we are born into the family of God. Spiritually. There's a big word. Spiritually. Not physically. Spiritually. And when Christ returns to take His bride, the church, home to glory, then will our physical bodies be changed when we meet Him in the air. So it is written. So it will be done. Amen, brother? Oh, yes. Well, dear brother, pardon me for talking your ear off, but I just had to talk to you, Brother John. I just had to talk to you. Get a few things clearer in my mind, that's all. If you don't mind, brother, I'd just like to go over the ifs you have in 1 John chapter 1. The ifs. Allow me to repeat that. If you don't mind, brother, if you don't mind, I'd just like to say the ifs you have in 1 John chapter 1. I'd just like to go over these, and then I'll be finished, I promise. Okay? Okay. 1 John chapter 1, verse 6. If you're there with me, fine. If you're not, listen carefully. Verse 6. If we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Verse 7. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If, verse 8, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Not in us. Verse 9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And verse 10, here it comes. If we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His words are not in us. Wow. There are 10 very important steps here with ifs, the word if. I did a message just called If. You can locate it on my site and you might want to listen to it. But that's just so important. If we say we have not sinned, which people say, that's not a sin, I didn't sin. Well, just saying that is a sin. That makes you a liar and His word is not in you. These are beautiful words from the heart of God. Beautiful words. They mean so much. So very much. Oh, yes, they do. You know, day to day, it's for many of us anyway, who try desperately to walk with God in a world that's gone mad. You know, look what's going on in America. Not just the United States, but also in Canada, all over the world. But we don't hear too much from afar. Look what's going on. Everything has just fallen apart. Fallen apart completely. People are making their own gods, developing their own ways of getting to their own heaven. It's insane. Absolute insanity, that's what it is. What can you do? Just keep on keeping on for the Lord. You know, you might go out on the street today and you might witness to somebody and say to them, say, look, do you believe that if you died today? This is now the common phraseology that people use when they witness to people that they never, perhaps never saw before. On a street corner, perhaps. Do you know if you died today, you'd go to heaven? I mean, that's a good line. Very valid. I love it. But you know what? When you say that to the average person on the street that doesn't know or care anything about Jesus, they just look at you in awe. And all they can think about is, who is this kook? I got to get away from him. Oh, they might either just walk away from you, or they might say something very unpleasant you don't want to hear. Okay, it happens, and it's happening more all the time. Okay, take with you, arm yourself with God's Word, and that is His holy book, of course, where all the answers are. And make sure you make a list of the questions you're going to ask. And you have the answers right there, because the worst thing can happen is you're telling somebody how to be saved, and what they do, well, they just lose any thought of what you're saying and walk away. So how do you keep them in your presence? Well, before you tell them about how to get to heaven, why not get to know them a little bit? If you see someone sitting on a park bench, you want to go over and talk to them about God. You're just going to go right over and say, hey, do you know if you died today, you go to heaven? Wrong. 9 times out of 10, it isn't going to work. You know, ask them something about their life. Tell them about yours a little bit. Have a nice day. Isn't the weather beautiful? Whatever the case may be, get to know them a little bit. And then slowly, slowly sneak in the Word of God. You know, you ask them what they do for a living. They say, maybe I work over at the mill. And they might say, well, what do you do? You know, well, I'm retired. I'm retired pretty much, you know, just kind of biding my time, waiting for the big day. What big day is that? Well, you know, and then you sneak in. And I know this, you know, a lot of people will disagree with this, but you must be very subtle to begin with. You just can't go in with both guns blazing, as it were. Or they're just going to get up, walk away, look at you like you're some kind of kook, and just, they're gone, you've lost them. And if they hear anybody else trying to lead them to Christ, they're going to jump and run away at the same time, because they had that experience with you. It's a delicate situation. Be careful of the words you use. Be careful of your approach. But first and foremost of all, if you're going to go sit on a bench or talk to somebody who's standing on a street corner about salvation, you must take the time to talk to God first. Don't just run over and just go gangbusters. You're going to lose them. You're going to lose them. Talk to God first. Say a prayer. Say a prayer. Ask God to help you to place the words that are in your heart, to place them in your mouth about a foot away. And then let them come out gradually, slowly. But always give, and this is just ultra important, always, everything you say about Jesus, about heaven, about God, always make sure that God gets the preeminence. Don't say things like, oh yeah, I believe in Jesus, yeah. I believe he went to Calvary, yeah, and died for sins and all that. You know, that's not going to cut it. That's not going to work at all. You know, talk about the world situation, what's going on. who's going to win the next election even. Break the ice, so to speak. Win them over verbally, and then hit them with the solution. Like if you say, oh, Trump's going to be reelected. Oh, that's great. That's great. Fine. They might say, your dreams. You got a conversation going, okay? Work on it. Bring God into the equation. Make sure that you quote Scripture properly. The most important line you can use is, except ye repent and believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ, ye shall likewise perish. I mean, that's the truth. It might be a little difficult to understand coming out like that, but you can explain. Because chances are, if this guy likes you, if you befriended him properly, he might say, I don't understand that. Go ahead. Go ahead. Let the Spirit of God lead you. He will put the words that are in your heart in your mouth. The words that need to be said. Now, it won't be something fancy, maybe. It won't be, you know, something that, you know, the whole world's going to hear and they're going to listen to you. No, I'm not talking. It's one-on-one. You know how the gospel is going to be given. You can go to church, you can hear it over and over again with the masses all sitting around. But you know what? It's a personal application, one-on-one. And that's why the preacher says to come forward and do your business with Christ. Come forward. Because that, the whole church, hundreds of people can sit there and say, okay, yeah. Amen, amen, amen. And you know, and they're just looking at their watch, wanting to get out and go to lunch. People, Jesus is real. What he did at Calvary is real. That can never be altered. Our job is a difficult one. Brother John had a difficult time. Things didn't go the way he wanted them to, but they went the way that God wanted him to do them. And that's what's important. You're not there to save the soul. You're there to inform the soul. Got that? I thank you for listening and pray that you'll tune in again next week. In Jesus' wonderful name I pray. Amen. Amen.